I'm excited about jumping back into week number three. Let me just say to all of our middle school and high school students here today, I want to invite you tonight to Fusion. God's put a message on my heart. I'll be speaking tonight, and I look forward to seeing you there. And then remember the Christmas tree dream teams for all of those that love chainsaws in our church. The tree Christmas tree lot is the best dream team to be on because there's something for everyone. You can serve hot chocolate, play in the bounce house, play with the chainsaw. And if you're new to our church and you want to get connected, this is kind of like... what did I say? Play with the chainsaw. If you like to play with chainsaws, it's a great dream team just for you. It's a great time. It's our annual kind of our family event where we as a family serve our community. It's a powerful time. So if you want to get to know people, just show up. There's always a space for somebody. You can talk to Richard today and sign up, or you can just show up. But it's a really, it's an incredible time to get connected to the people of our church. We want to invite you to be a part of that. Well, today we're going to move on in the Blessed Life series. And we're going to talk about something. I believe this is probably the most important week out of the five-week series. Last week, we talked about the first 10% of all we earn belongs to God. It is His. It is holy. And we return it to Him as an act of worship. And that's the first step in the blessed life. But then we have to learn how to manage the other 90% in a biblical manner. And one of the problems I think we have in the body of Christ today is the title of my message is The Curse of Debt. We have so many people in slavery to debt in the body of Christ that they don't have the freedom to really do what God wants them to do because they're a slave to money. And let me make it absolutely clear to you. One of the things the Bible teaches is a godly man will leave an inheritance to his children and his children's children. Which means if you're not leaving an inheritance to your grandchildren, then I'm failing you as a pastor. Because one of my roles as a pastor is not just to get you to tie to the church, but it's to get you to leave an inheritance to your children and your children's children. And it's awfully hard to do that when you're drowning in debt. And see, that's part of the Christian life. God has a holistic view for you. In your finances, for you to be a blessing to your family, for you to be a blessing to your grandchildren, for you to live free in this area of your life. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon," and we're going to come back to that word in a moment. I'm going to explain to you what that word means. "Who will commit to you trust the true riches?" Now, what are true riches? It's people. You're not going to bring your money into eternity with you. You're not going to bring your house into heaven with you. What you do bring to eternity is people. It's souls. It's lives. It's relationship. That's what true riches is. And if a man has not been faithful in what is another man's. Now let me give you a thought on that for a moment. What is another man's? Well, the tithe is another man's. Remember, the tithe does not belong to us. It belongs to God. It's holy. It's set apart. The tithe is, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And what I'd like to do for the next few moments is I'm going to talk to you a little bit about mammon and who mammon is and what mammon's goal for your life is. And I'm going to introduce one of our founding elders, Dave Barth, and he's going to talk a little bit about the hard realities of debt and give you some hope and some practical steps, because we have a passion as a church to see the people in our church debt-free. And it's not a pipe dream. We've got realistic tools in place where if you'll put a little hard work into it, in a matter of 4 to 5 years, we can help you become completely debt-free in your life, in your family, to be a blessing to your children and to your grandchildren. And it's not a pipe dream. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But let's look at this word mammon. Some Bibles translate this word as money. You cannot serve God and money. But Jesus very specifically used a word mammon. It was an ancient Aramaic word. Its origin was found in ancient Babylon. If you've ever read John Milton's famous poem, Paradise Lost, he talks about Satan falling from heaven. And he takes his legion of demon army. And he has six generals in the demon army, Moloch and some of these other guys. And Mammon is listed as one of the generals in Satan's army. Mammon is a spirit. It's actually the Syrian god of riches. And the people of this time period would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And if you really study it out biblically, mammon is the spirit of Antichrist. Think about it. When the spirit of Antichrist rules the world, does not rule the world through nuclear threat. He rules the world through fear of financial insecurity. You take the mark of the beast. Why? To be able to buy and sell. It's the spirit of mammon. And Jesus says you cannot serve both God and mammon. And this is the only thing in the entire Bible Jesus put on this line. I mean, think about it. In all of Scripture, the only thing Jesus said, you cannot serve God and was mammon. He didn't say you can't serve God in self, God in family, God in sex, God in drugs. He said you cannot serve God in mammon. Mammon is the number one competition for the human heart. And mammon's looking for slaves. Mammon's looking for servants. And what mammon is mammon is a spirit that rests on money. That's what Jesus is saying here. You can't serve God and mammon. Talking about this spirit of money, a spirit that literally rests on money. And what you need to understand is all money in the world today, either has the spirit of mammon on it or the spirit of God on it. There's no third option. And last week we talked about how to redeem your income and break the curse so that you could have the spirit of God on money. That's what the tithe is all about. When we tithe, we redeem our finances from the spirit of mammon. We bring the spirit of God onto our finances where they have the ability to be blessed. But here's the problem. There's many people who break this curse through tithing, yet they still make damaging, they do this voluntarily. They make damaging decisions to their finances through racking up amounts of debts. And this is one of the strategies that Satan has for your life is debt. And so let's look at the lie of mammon quickly. The lie of mammon, number one in your notes. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money, the desire for money, the craving for money. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith. And let me say, if Satan can get you financially, he can pull you away from Christ. He can destroy your marriage. He can kill the relationship between you and your kids. Satan knows the number one weapon he has is to get you messed up financially. Because if he gets you there, he can destroy so many other areas of your life so easily. And then he goes on to say, they've wandered from the true faith and they've pierced themselves with many sorrows. If you've ever met somebody drowning in debt, that's the way they describe their life, is a life of many sorrows. So let me explain how mammon works. Mammon has a voice like the Holy Spirit has a voice. Mammon speaks to you like the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You hear the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Mammon speaks to your heart. How many of you have ever heard the voice? If you just had more money, you'd have a better marriage. See, that's the voice of mammon. It's not the voice of God. Mammon says, if you had that car, you'd feel better about yourself. If you had the new iPhone or iPad, you'd feel a little bit more, you know, you'd feel a little bit more significant in life. And so what mammon does is mammon promises you what only God can deliver. Mammon promises security, but only God can give you security. Mammon promises you identity and significance, but only God can give you those things. Mammon promises you freedom. If you had money, you'd be free, but only God gives freedom. Mammon promises happiness, but only God can truly fulfill you. And mammon's looking for servants. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve God in money. Mammon wants to put you into slavery. That's his strategy for your life. You know, we've heard the voice, you don't need to tithe. You won't have enough if you do that. We've heard that all the church wants is your money. Even well-meaning Christians, I've heard this from well-meaning Christians. They say things like, well, if I had more money, I could help more people. Well, let me be honest with you. Money doesn't help people. God helps people. God is what helps people. If you buy into the lie of money, one of the strategies mammon has is to get you bound up in debt. That's why Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. And what we want to do as a church is to get you out of slavery, to get you free, to give you a realistic plan in place. And I'm going to introduce Dave Barth in just a minute because he's working in our church and committed the rest of his life to help people get out of debt through a Money Life mentoring program. And I just want to read you a story of a couple in our church who began working with Dave recently. I want to read you their story. Several months back, my wife and I began our transformation from spending without limits and struggling with daily finances. We were in debt over our head, and every plan we made seemed to fall through. For years, we never managed our debt and thought we would always have to live in debt. We had credit cards maxed out, school loans that seemed impossible to pay off, and vehicle loans that were outside of our means. This type of debt was ruining our marriage. We argued often about money and always seemed to disagree on how to save, spend, and live with it. It was a horrible burden. We've been part of the Coastline family for close to 2 years now, and some time back, our financial mentor, Dave Barth, spoke in front of the church about Money Life mentoring. Something that day changed for us. As we listened to him speak, we both heard the solution to our largest issue in life and marriage. So on our way home from service, we spoke a lot about it. We both collectively agreed to give Money Life mentoring a chance. We then reached out to do our initial consultation and assessment and began our beautiful transformation. Our first steps of the assessment was very eye-opening as we saw just how far in debt we were and how long it would take to pay everything off. Based on our spending habits and income, we could never have expected to pay off our debt. In reality, we were going further in debt every day. Then Dave gave us our first sign of hope. He showed us how through the program, not only we could pay off our debt, but we could become totally debt-free. Our D-Day, as we call it, is now within 4.5 years. By following the teachings and relearning how to live and manage money in a biblical and godly way, we have been transformed and been given the gift of financial freedom. We never knew what it meant to live a blessed life, but each step we take in our transformation, our lives become more and more blessed and our relationships stronger, better, and more fulfilling. We now have the confidence that in our very near future, we will no longer be in debt, but instead, we will be able to better use God's money for a more purposeful life that will benefit the needs of His children. I still can't explain how, but even though we tithe and we put more towards our debt, it seems that at the end of every pay period, we have done more, feel more satisfied, and yet somehow have spent less than before. And then he has a message for you. Coastline Family, Money Life Mentoring, and Dave Barth have truly changed our lives. We will be forever grateful for everything we have learned and how we can pass that knowledge on to our children, family, and friends. And this is his challenge to you today. Remember, every journey starts with the first step. Would you welcome Dave Barth with me?
Thank you, Aaron. Just a real quick story here before I get started. 25 years ago, I came to the Lord, and it was part of a Coastline Church before a church split. But I started out, when I came to the Lord, I ended up being a greeter. And yesterday, before the service, my wife pulled me aside, gave me a big hug, and she goes, Dave, just remember what you talked about 25 years ago, that maybe someday I could give a sermon in front of a church. Here it is. Now, if you would have told me I'd be talking about debt, if you told me I'd be talking about mammon, I would have said you were nuts. But God has opened many doors. I feel blessed to be here. I'm honored to be here. And I'm hoping parts of this message, if it just helps out one family, this is going to be a very, very good weekend. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you some scripture. I'm going to share with you some wisdom. I'm going to share with you some facts that are probably going to be startling to many of you, but they're facts. And they're facts from Crown Financial Ministries and also facts from Christian Credit Counselors. And these facts, you need to look at them when you see a number as a gift. Empirical facts are a gift. You can elect to do something with it. You can elect not to do something with it. It could be a good indicator that things are going well or indicator that things are going bad. But hopefully it's going to prompt you to do something when this gift, when you see some facts. And in Money Life Mentoring, a lot of facts are going to be exposed on where you are, where you've been, where do you want to go. And what I'm going to do for the next 18 minutes is take a six-week course, Money Life Mentoring, and try to summarize it for you. But first, I would like everybody, if you're next to your spouse or significant other, just grab their hand. I want you to shut your eyes for 10 seconds. What would it feel like to reach your D-Day, which is your debt-free day, which is your debtless day? What would it feel like? And this is what God wants you to feel like. Just think about it for a second. You got a dream. Have a lot of youth here today. You got a dream. You don't want to be slaves to debt. You want to be slaves to God. But it starts with understanding that feeling. Now, what I would like to do is also give you an analogy. I'm going to bring you back to earth here a little bit. And it's football season. And God owns everything. God owns the football league. He owns the football team. And I'm not giving disrespect to God, believe me. But I'm trying to bring it home. My Buckeyes won yesterday, so it's a good weekend. Somebody here probably knows the score of the Chargers game, so don't say anything. But God owns everything. He owns the football league. Okay, we have a head coach of a team, and that team is called Coastline Church. And Aaron is the leader of that team. And Aaron is committed to getting this church debt-free. Aaron is committed to teaching about what he taught here the last 2 weeks, plus today on mammon, which is a very tough topic to talk about. But he is a leader that is committed to tackle the tough issues. So we have the owner, we have the coach, and every football team has an offensive coordinator. And God has placed it on my heart and opened up some doors to be that offensive coordinator in and around debt. Crown Financial Ministries, I am a master mentor trainer for them. The goal for them is to raise up 1,000 mentors around the country for churches just like this. And I have the responsibility of training them. I'm also a Crown Associate certified to be able to work with churches. I'm also a Crown mentor, and I'm currently mentoring many families, Southern California and around the country. And I'm absolutely blessed to do that. There's one part of the team that's missing. Who is that?
Players.
Aaron's heard this twice before, so he got it right. But you all here are the players. It's the men, it's the women, it's the husbands and the wives. You are the players. And the whole goal is to obviously prepare you to be transformed. And I'm going to get into it a little bit, but you have to realize that God owns everything and God is in control. And you have a role in this. And you score more points on the offense or the defense in a game, football game? Offense. So you players are going to have to go on the offensive to make a change in your life. If you sit here and play defense and don't do anything, do you score a lot of points playing defense? No, you're going to get beat. Because the other team, Satan, is playing offense in your life. So you're going to have to come up with better offensive plays on a team led by Aaron, sponsored by Coastline, that's part of God's kingdom. God wants you to be a slave to him. He doesn't want you to be a slave to money. And here are some background facts. The Bible says more about money, in the Bible, money is talked about more than anything. There are 2,350 references to money in the New Testament. Why do you think God put 2,350 references to money in the New Testament? Because he knew we were going to be challenged every day as youth, as young couples, as a married couple. As we get older and we try to build a legacy for our children, we're going to be challenged with it. The Bible also teaches you all how to be good stewards, good managers, how to make money, how to invest money, how to save it for retirement, how to build inheritance, legacy. Aaron had mentioned inheritance. Leave it to your children's children. That means it's sustainable. That means you built something in place to go from generation to generation. Again, this is all brought up in the Crown Money Life Mentoring that takes 6 weeks, but I'm going to touch upon it real quickly here in a second. The number one fear, I'm going to talk about this. We're in a military town here by Camp Pendleton. The number one fear of someone in the military serving our country is not stepping on a landmine. And this comes from the military chaplains because Crown works with them. The people that are serving overseas, their number one fear is lack of money to be able to provide for their families. They don't make a whole lot. A lot of the people in the military didn't get the schooling from their parents, from high school or college. They're challenged with this. So they have problems with this and they go into debt. If you drive down Oceanside Boulevard, you see sales, you see promotions. They'll sell you anything because you need it. I put it on a credit card. They'll give you a 7% interest. Doesn't sound bad. You miss your first payment, it jumps up to 15%. You miss your second payment, it jumps up to 24%. You miss your third payment, it jumps up. We're dealing with people with 39.9% interest rate on their credit card, with people in the military that are serving. It's abuse, it's usury, and it's not right. Also going to show you a statistic here with a slide that you'll see behind me. I think you've all heard the number 50% of initial marriages, people end up divorced in the United States. 57% of those marriages are divorced because a husband and wife can't agree on money, a plan, how do you pay your bills, how do you take care of your children, how are we going to pay for school. The number one need of a female is what? Security. If you don't have money, you don't have a plan for money, if you're not working together, you're not going to feel very secure. Next slide. These are the five parts of the Money Life Mentoring Program. And we're going to go through some scripture on God's part and our part. We're also going to talk about getting debt free. But if you can just think as I go through this, a big, big wall between the second circle and the third circle. If you don't get the debt taken care of, how in the heck are you going to get to the contentment and the purpose-driven life that God has intended for you? Because you are a slave to money. How do you get from 3 to 4? How do you get to the savings that you need to make? After tithing, what's the number one thing you should make investments in? Pay yourself first savings for the rainy day. 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses stored away. After that, making the investments. Saving additional money. Paying for children's education. And I lost the slide. Thank you, Gordon. And then if you don't build the savings and the investment, no retirement, live in retirement, how do you build a legacy for your children and your children's children? So we're going to talk about the first part, which is God part here. Let the transformation process begin. The Lord owns everything and all your possessions. And yes, this does include your money. In Deuteronomy 10:14, it calls out in the New Living Translation, look. I think that was put there to get your attention. The highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord our God. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all the people belong to him. The Lord is also in control, total control. Now, I don't know about you, but that feels very comforting to me because we are all a piece of work. If we left everything to us, it would be a mess. Thank goodness God is in control of everything. In 1 Chronicles 29:1, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on this earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things, and this does include wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Our part and role to get out of debt. Remember, the players have a role in this game called life. Our role is to be God-honoring stewards and managers with all of God's possessions and be faithful to his biblical commands. Debt is when you owe someone money, property, and even promises. And it's highly discouraged in the Bible, but it does not say debt is a sin. But debt is called out as slavery, as Aaron pointed out in his part here. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is a slave to the lender. Romans 13:8, I'm going to give you three translations here just to try to get the point home. Let no man owe anything. Pay all your debts. From the NLT, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. I want to throw up another slide here, which is the reality of life here in North County and across the country. These are some numbers from Crown and Christian Credit Counselors. It's an average number. That means there's numbers a lot lower and numbers a lot higher. This is average. Total principal due, the balance, $42,619 on four credit cards. Total payout, when you pay the interest at 17.93%, is $83,601. When people are struggling, you pay the minimums. The minimum payment is $1,295. It's going to take that couple 27.25 years to pay off that debt. You are going to be a slave to these four lenders. This is just credit cards. Crown and CCC, which is part of the Money Life Mentoring Program, on the right, you can get a 6.34% interest rate. You're going to be able to pay this off in 4.83 years, and I wish I was taller, but there's the number. You are going to save, well, thanks for laughing, Marsh. You are going to save 22.46 years. 22.46 years of honoring God and being a slave to God versus being a slave to the four credit cards that person has or that couple has. Here are some facts as I throw up the next slide. Look at that slide, and this is what we all try to do as man, woman, wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend. Many of you know Lindsay, my daughter. She's dating somebody that was getting serious. And I looked at Tommy and I go, don't you ever think about asking for my daughter's hand until you go through the Crown Financial Study. They are both so bad with money. You remember the slide, 57%? You think the chances would be improved if they got grounded early on as a pre-marriage class together around money? Since they're going to be challenged with it all their life, their children are going to be challenged, and they want to leave a legacy, you better get it down straight in the beginning. So as you look at this slide, the goal is here is come together as a team of husband and wife, converge on God's plan, and it's obviously going to draw you closer together. Less fights, unity. Two, pray daily and be accountability partners for one another as you try to rescind up that apex when you find out what God's plan is for you. Three, go on the offensive as you'll score more points. I talked about that before. And when I talk about going on the offensive, I'm going to put this down here for a second. You're going to keep charging. Remember that $42,000 debt? That's assuming they didn't charge an additional thing. So they have to stop that process. So this is what I mean by coming together. Face your fears. Admit that there's a major problem. Stop waiting. Stop the bleeding as time is on your side if you can start investing the money versus paying the credit cards. Have faith. Trust God and do your part. A lot of people pray and talk about getting out of debt. But as it says in James 2:20, faith without works is dead. You've got to put your feet on the ground. You've got to start doing some things as a couple. If you can't handle what you have today, do you think God is going to bless you with anything else in the future? I don't think so. So you better get a handle on what you have today. What is the number, and this is a question for the congregation, what is the number one action and investment strategy a couple can make as you look at that slide? Investment strategy. Somebody say thrift? Did somebody go to the earlier service? That's the right answer. Thrift. Take what you have today, after you give the tithe, is the other 90% that God has blessed you with. Be good stewards, buy right, shop coupons, just worry about your needs, not your wants. Every dollar you save is 100% return on your money. Where are you going to get that in the stock market today? as you look at this, the 10th commandment, a new definition of mammon. The 10th commandment is do not covet. People buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't know or even like. So, you're going to go to the five circle slide again. Again, with the commitment of the church, the commitment to Aaron, Crown Financial Ministry, CCC, a calling on my heart. We'll love to help people understand one and two so they can start feeling the contentment versus discontentment. And this is going to take some time to do. But if you have a plan, isn't that comforting in the self? If the husband and wife come together with a plan versus no plan? If you can do this, then you can make the switch over here to savings and investments. In the Bible, savings and investing is good. It's a godly thing to do. I'll talk about investing here in a second. It's steady plotting brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. Slow and steady. The millionaire next door. Humble, hardworking, small house, lives within their means. Gives generously, tithe. If you have a chance, read that book. It's a great, great illustration of how these people do it. If you look at family up there, number five. If anyone does not provide for his family, and especially for those in the household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. An inheritance. A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. So as I talk about going on the offensive, I'm going to wrap up here really quickly. You need to go on offensive. Your foundation needs to be the 2,350 scripture in the New Testament specific to debt and money. Make that your foundation. Come together as a husband and wife. Pray. Be accountabilities to one another. And believe me, the love that God has for you, the life that he has planned for you to be blessed is worth fighting for and it's worth changing. So that is my blessing to this congregation. I know Aaron is committed to do this. I know it's part of the Dream Team philosophy, small groups that he wants planned here. I'm looking for members to be on this Dream Team with everything that is going on out there today. And if anybody has any questions, you know how to find me on the website or I'll be between services. But we are committed to help you understand God's principles around money, God's part, and for you to reach the blessings that he has planned for you that is detailed in these books back in the back. I'll read one piece of information here from this book. God stands ready and willing to provide all of heaven's help if you only take a step of faith and begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, so much. Good job. You know, we can't encourage you enough to get a copy of this today. They're in the back. They're for you. Because we're passionate about this. Our goal today was to hit you with some hard reality on the curse of debt. Because I believe debt's a curse to many people. I believe people are drowning in debt. But we also wanted to hit you with hope and let you know we can help. We have a realistic plan. You can go through Money Life Mentoring. Where you can start today and take that step. And I had this thought, 2,350 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about money. If God's that interested in a little part of your life, because money, at the end of the day, really doesn't matter all that much. But if God's that interested in that area of your life to keep you healthy, how much more does God love you? Think about it. If God loves you enough to talk about debt, how much more does God love you as a person? See, one of the reasons why we exist on the weekend, you know, our number one goal with every weekend service is to extend an invitation on behalf of God to people to join his family. Because what you need to know about God today is he does not want to be your religion. He wants to be your dad. God is building a family. And he wants you to be a part of his family. That's what Christianity is. And God today is inviting you. God is saying, will you join my family? And then some of you, God is saying, will you come back home? And how do you join God's family? You say yes. That's it. See, we're not a religion here. Christianity is not a religion. Jesus taught it was the exact opposite of religion. Religion is you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to try really hard. You got to be really good and you climb that ladder. And if you do a really, really good job, then God will accept you. That's what religion teaches. Jesus said Christianity is the exact opposite. I did it for you because you can't do it. So all you have to do is say yes. That's it. It's not about you being a good person. It's not about you working really hard. You just say yes to him. And today God's inviting you. God's saying, would you join my family? Would you be a part of my family? I want to be your dad. I want to have a relationship with you. I don't want you to come serve in a religion. I want to know you. I want to bless you. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? There's people throughout the room today who need to say yes to that invitation. They need to say yes. And again, there's some of you who would say, yeah, you know, there was a time in my life I was part of God's family, but I don't feel like I'm there anymore. And you need to hear loud and clear, God's speaking to you today saying, come home. There's nothing you could have done to go too far. There's nothing you've done that I can't forgive. Please come home. Please come home. And so if you're in either one of those situations, I'm going to invite you to join me in a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not even going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud. You can pray it in your heart. But if you're in either one of those situations today and you need to say yes to God's invitation, would you just raise your hand with every eye closed and say, I'd like to join you in that prayer today. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Is there anybody else? The prayer is simple. The first part of the prayer is God's extending an invitation to you, and your response is to say yes. So God's saying to you right now, will you be a part of my family? And so what I want you to do right now in your heart, in your own words, would you just tell God, yes, I accept your invitation. The second part of that prayer is you need to ask God a question. And I'll tell you ahead of time, God's going to say yes. God will say yes to this question. And the question you need to ask God is, God, will you forgive me? Because we've all made mistakes in our life. We all have what the Bible calls sin, fallen short. And so right now, would you just say, God, will you forgive me? And then the last part of that prayer is, I just want you to be grateful. I just want you to tell God, thank you. So in your own words, would you just in your heart say, God, thank you. Thank you. Now you can look up for a moment. If you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to take one more step on your own. On the connection card, there's two boxes. One says I'm committing my life to Christ, meaning I said yes to the invitation. One says I'm recommitting my life to Christ, meaning I came home. If you made either decision today, would you check one of those boxes, and you can turn it in one of the tithe and offering boxes as you leave. We just want to come alongside you, call you, pray for you, support you, give you the tools and resources to really be a part of God's family. There's books outside that say, now what? It's a great question. You know, I said yes to God's invitation today. Now what? Pick up one of these. They're free. It's a very short book that'll take you through the next steps. And then lastly, our favorite thing is to give away Bibles. If you don't have a hard copy of God's Word, of the Holy Bible, we would love to give you a Bible today. We'd be so privileged if you would take one today. We have a table outside of Bibles. You can take as many as you need. But it's our favorite thing to do as a church is to give people God's Word, because this book will change your life because it's living. It's living. It's living. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the challenge today, God. Because we know, God, it's not just about what we give to you that matters. It's also about what we give to our children and our children's children. You have a holistic view over our life. You want us to be blessed, and you want us to bless our children and bless our grandchildren. And we can't do that if we're drowning in the curse of debt. So God, let us take that first step, Lord, to break that curse in our life and to really take a realistic approach, Lord, in how to deal with that, so that you can really just give us freedom to let us do our part and take that step of faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.